You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This episode of On Brand is brought to you by 2020. You know that stock photography look you hate? Like how all the models have those creepy, dead-behind-the-eyes smiles? 2020 lets you buy millions of intimate, authentic, real-world photos. They look like they came from someone's social media account you're jealous of, and they're proven to increase your brand's image. You get 5 photos with 2020's 1-week free trial at 2020.com/onbrand. That's the word 20, then the number 2 and the number 0.com/onbrand to get your first 5 photos free.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Melanie Spring. When you ask a brand strategist how she defines her brand and she says, approachable badass, you know you've found someone who can help you define your own brand. Melanie Spring was put here to get you outside of your box and firmly in your purpose, professionally and personally. Melanie runs Branded Confidence as an international speaker and facilitator, bringing her charisma and confidence to humans worldwide. She's so dedicated to her purpose that she once drove 7,000 miles in 3 weeks to find out why great brands work. Melanie, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I feel like there's so many things. One, I always like to point out as someone that reads a lot of bios, that's an exceptional bio. It was made to bring you out to thunderous applause. You're all about branded confidence. I feel more confident after having read that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That is a rare trait in a bio. That said, as much as I want to compliment the bio, the other smart thing you've done is you've embedded a story right away that driving 7,000 miles in 3 weeks to find out why great brands work, I have to know more about that. So are you game to dive right in there?
Oh, I'm excited about diving in. Yeah, definitely. Well, 5.5 years ago, I actually got in my car, frustrated at my life and my business and everything, and decided to take a 3-week tour around the United States and called it the Live Your Brand Tour. And when you have an official title and you do branding for a living, yeah, and you make things look official, people are like, oh, I want to be interviewed for the Live Your Brand Tour. That sounds so official. So I basically did it to escape my life and ended up with 18 stories on how amazing brands do it and shared it with the world through Entrepreneur Magazine. So 7,000 miles in 3 weeks is not a good idea ever for anyone, but it was an amazing journey and adventure at the end of it. So I look back on it thinking, yeah, I got to interview some of the coolest brands, some small brands, some really big brands, and get to know the real reason why they actually do work.
So speaking as the road tripping dad that frequently plots our course where we're going, were those 3,000 miles linear or were they all kinds of cattywampus?
Well, it was 7,000 from DC up over, like, kind of, I did an arc over the top of the US all the way to California. And then I went down the coast and kind of an under arc, an upside down arc to go back. So it was not linear miles. It was a long way. I basically went coast to coast and back.
I was gonna, yeah. I mean, it's somewhat linear. It's not zigzaggy. That's ish. Yeah, that's a solid ish. So with the road trip logistics questions aside, tell me about some of the different brands observed in that journey.
Well, I got a chance to meet Timbuktu, the messenger bag company in San Francisco, and learn about their culture and how they are really a startup and have stayed the startup culture all this time, even though they're a pretty huge brand at this point. but they don't have an HR department. They have a brand, they have brand ambassadors internally, and like one of them, like once a month, they choose a beer ambassador. So that person gets to choose the beer and order the keg and make sure the office has it for whatever they need. So they're looking at culture much more than they're looking at the person and their skills. So they want to make sure the people they're hiring really fit the hardcore cyclist feeling that they have in the company, because they're, I mean, they're a messenger bag company. So they hire people who cycle. And if you don't cycle when you start there, you will by the end. And most of them commute to work via their bicycle. So they have a place for you to be able to park your bicycle, and they do rides on the weekends and really just fun stuff instead of like yoga in the conference room once a week so that people can be stretched out and ready for their workday. So just looking at the culture of Timbuktu, it was amazing to see how much they'd grown, but also how much they'd stayed a small startup feeling culture.
Go ahead. No, I was, that's an amazing story. I have some of their bags, and it's neat to learn how that culture behind the scenes, both comes to life and stays alive. I think that's the big trick.
Yes, exactly. Well, and I think at the end of it, I mean, I interviewed companies like Backcountry.com and Chobani and some big brands, but I also got a chance to hang out with the little brands too, like a jewelry store in San Luis Obispo, and how they became, I mean, they've been around for 30 years. How are they still in business after all this time selling jewelry? And they were really good at standing out by creating event space behind their building that they could also share with a restaurant next door. So they're making money from the restaurant next door, but they also throw events, unlike most jewelry companies, where you just come in and buy jewelry. They actually want you to see what they do from a community perspective, because that area of the world is all about community. Everyone in San Luis Obispo knows each other. So looking at the different culture of the company, but also the people that they're affecting in their community, being able to make sure that it fits both directions. At the end of the day, I figured out it was all about the humans. And this was 5.5 years ago, and now I only talk about the humans. So it was an amazing experience for me.
Yeah, I mean, you said it yourself in there, talking about community. And I think that whether it's the community that you're serving in your small business through event space like that, or the sense of community that you build in your Timbuktu example, understanding the culture of the people that you serve and keeping that alive where you are. But that's a somewhat abstract concept. I would imagine in all of your talking about it, you have to really do some explaining on that as well.
Definitely. Well, it was kind of like there was another example, the Backcountry.com, and meeting them, they're only online. So building a culture inside a company that's only online, they don't do any customer, like face-to-face consumer relationship building. So they have to be able to build a culture that really attracts the people client-wise that they need, but also the community inside the company and the culture. And so looking at the humans, I was asking them how they were able to attract people like Olympic snowboarders to be on their customer service team for snowboarding. And they said, well, Melanie, we have powder days. What do you think snowboarders really want? They want powder days. They want to know that they can leave the day that the mountain is perfect for them to go snowboarding and take the day to go do that. So being able to create a culture that the humans can thrive in while also attracting the right people, I think the humans are everything. I mean, you know this when you do branding. So thinking about the humans and the ambassadorship that they're able to share with everybody, even if it's just the guy that they're talking to at the grocery store, having them be able to be an ambassador for you is such a huge part of building your brand.
You know, this reminds me of years ago on the podcast, I had Tom Webster, who's a VP at Edison Research, studying, you know, how brands are built online and connecting with each other. And one line he said that always stuck out to me, he said, you have to know your humans. And first of all, mm-hmm. I love the turn of the phrase. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm a sci-fi nerd, so it makes me feel like I'm some sort of alien overlord. But mm-hmm. Talking about a culture where your humans can thrive and knowing your humans, I think is key. What if someone's listening to this out there and is nodding along and thinking, yes, and then has that kind of oh crap moment and they realize, I don't know that we know our humans all that well. They buy our stuff. So what if someone has that problem?
Well, typically, most people haven't asked their humans who they are. So they sell something because they think that they need to sell it. And then, I mean, that's typically how this works is like, I have a problem. I created a business around a problem that I had. I learned everything I needed to know about this business, which you see a lot in parents who end up having children who have different diseases or cancer or something. They all get so deep into the thing that they need to learn about that they evangelize it to the world. Because before that, they would have never wanted to know or cared about that thing, but it's affecting them. So a lot of people start a business around the thing that they need the most or that they know the most because of something in their lives. And then they end up going out there and saying, well, I'm going to sell it this way because I'm obviously the person who needs this. When in reality, like, I'm not selling to me. I definitely don't want people like me buying the things that I'm selling because it doesn't make any sense. You have to look at who am I actually talking to and who's attracted to the thing that I have, but they're probably in your tribe of some sort. So if you're thinking about like people who are attracted to you, they're probably people like you, but they're not people who are like you. They probably have similar attributes or characteristics, but they're needing something from you that only you can give them. And they're attracted to you because you speak the language that they need to hear. So thinking about the customers that you're talking about and the consumers that are buying from you, those humans, if you just ask them who they are and what they do and how they do it and how they go about their day, I mean, people love to share who they are and what they do and what the minutia of their day. I mean, we have Snapchat and Instagram stories. I mean, we all want to share a little bit more about us because we think the world needs to hear it. But if you just ask them, they'll tell you everything about them, and then you'll be able to figure out, okay, these are probably not the people I want to be going after because I'm going after people just like me. I need to go after people like this because they're the people who actually need the thing that I have.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because you talk about getting to know those humans, and I think that also leads, and we sometimes skip asking them. I don't know if it feels too easy, but we jump straight to the marketing textbook of mm-hmm. getting all of the quantitative data about who they are, that they are, you know, a 35-year-old middle manager who has been working this long and in this type of company with a CEO this height and build. And I think that information certainly has a role to play, but I don't think that that's the be-all, end-all to knowing your humans and knowing what matters to them.
Right. Agreed. And like the simplest example of this is the car industry. What most of the people who are selling cars, they're selling them to the men. Most of the cars are actually sold to women. I think, what is it? Like 87% of cars are sold to women. And it's fascinating how like the man might be purchasing the car, but the woman's making the decision. So who are you actually going to be going after? You go after the woman, obviously, because they're the ones making the actual decision, regardless of where the paycheck is coming from. So looking at how the car industry has finally started to evolve a little bit because they're finally looking at the data, but they're actually finally talking to the humans that they need to be talking to who are making the decisions. Because they're talking about safety, they're talking about reliability, they're talking about making sure to take care of you instead of look at this awesome thing and how much power it has. Like, really? Nope. Okay, that's nice. That'll be like the middle-aged guy who really needs that fast car. But like, that's such a small part of the population that's buying cars. So thinking about who you're going after, like the CEO, like we're talking about the CEO is, you know, this guy who looks like this and does these things. He's probably really not making the decision at the end of the day. It's probably the 37-year-old marketing assistant who has all of the influence in the company, but no, she doesn't have the title. So maybe thinking yeah. about who is she and what's the demographic of her so you can get to her to make sure that she can whisper in the CEO's ear because the CEO is not going to be on Instagram looking at your pictures. So how can you make sure that you're bridging the gap between the two of them?
Well, you have to get beyond the data and you have to get beyond what people can self-report and check the box, like who's the decision maker?
Yep.
Well, it's Bob, but Jen spent 2 years researching it and was the one that told Bob what to buy.
And she's at the conference you're speaking at and she's the one that's looking at the advertising you're posting. So make sure you're going after her, not the person at the end of the whole tunnel that's basically hiding in the back.
Right, right. So we know our humans, and we're shifting into what we want to say to them. Your approach is really defined by this concept of not only confidence, but what your bio defines you as, being an approachable badass. I want to talk a bit about that, because that is another wonderful turn of the phrase, but it might be one that makes people uncomfortable, especially people that are maybe branding something a little more laid back, and a little more buttoned down, and are not laid back, but buttoned down, and are thinking, whoa, that's scary. I don't know if we can talk like that. What's the importance of being a badass?
Well, so a little background on this. My grandmother the other day, she actually came to my house and she goes, you know, I'm still not okay with this ass word, which I loved because she's 75 and she's so spunky. But I have the Kick-Ass Humans Club and I'm an approachable badass. And what I learned is I was starting my podcast about 2 years ago. And basically my mother was like, if you say the F word, I can't share it with my church friends. So I've learned that like the F word is 100% off limits, because if my mom can't share it with her church friends, then that's not going to work. But what I realized is, like, have you ever heard Tony Robbins speak?
Yeah.
Well, he actually has a thing about words and how words affect how people see things. And it's not about it's not about the words you're saying, it's about how you use the words you're saying. So I grew up as a Christian and I grew up, you're not allowed to say bad words. Like even awesome was off topic because like off limits, because only God is awesome. So like I was very, very stuck in a very small box of using the English language, and the people around me had very lower education. So I had to speak in very small words. So it was me being an English major was really awful because I was using big words and I was trying to relate to people. And what I realized is people like to be knocked off kilter a little bit, and they like to have that little bit of a surprise. And I look very more innocent. I mean, not as much anymore because I've really tried to make sure that my outer image matches the inside of me, but making sure that like I come across as very approachable. So that's a big deal to me, is making people feel really comfortable, but I also like putting them on edge a little bit. And that badass piece of it, it gives a little bit of that edge, but the approachable part of it softens it a little so that they feel like, oh my gosh, I want to be her friend. Wait, she's pushing me further than I was expecting. Wait a second. How did she get all that information? Oh, because she was my friend. That makes sense. So realizing that the approachable part mixed with the badass piece, kind of it's two opposites thrown together in one human being. And I've realized that I've been that way my whole life. I just never could define it until not too long ago. So adding that little bit of an edge to a conservative agency, I've learned that if you're not willing to even listen to the word badass or kick-ass, or even I say manifest that shit, if you can't handle that in a corporate setting, then I'm probably not the person you want to hire as your brand strategist, because I'm going to probably stretch you further than you've been planning on being stretched. And most people don't like to be stretched. So I usually am like, this is a pretty easy, like, you stay out of my situation because I don't want you as a client. So if you don't want to be a part of the Kick-Ass Humans Club, don't come hang out with me, because if it's offensive to you, I'm going to be very offensive to you by pushing you past the point of where you're comfortable. So giving them a little bit of an edge and making sure that they understand that I'm going to have a little edge. I'm not going to be offensive if that's something that you're worried about, but I'm going to make sure that I push you. So I want to be very clear up front before they even think about hiring me that that's the case.
Well, it's a great screening tool to help get it fit, which is so key in any relationship. It also is a good ethos for your brand voice. And I think the third thing that it does is it stands out. And I think that's such a huge issue for brands today is, I mean, the whole ass word conversation aside, I think there's a huge problem with saying something that sounds like something. You talk about the power of words, and there's individual word choice and everything that you just mentioned, but I think what we sometimes workshop it into, you take a step back and you have that moment that, oh my God, we're not saying anything at all.
And everyone sounds the same.
Yeah.
You look at marketing companies. I mean, I used to run a marketing company, and I looked at all the other marketing companies, and everyone would come to me and say, wow, you look so different. I'm like, it's not hard to look different because everyone else looks the same. And everyone else is saying exactly the same language. So standing out in an industry, I mean, most of the industries I work in are not very interesting. They're kind of boring, like more manufacturing or financial or tech. Like it's all like the same stuff everyone else is doing. But standing out is not hard because everyone else is doing the same thing. They're using the same colors. Like every financial institution is green and blue and every tech company is green and blue. Like it's all the same stuff. So stand out by throwing a little red or a little pink in there. It's really not that hard.
Everybody's read the color psychology article that knows that blue is calming and it means strength and assurance and all of these
it's
solid things that, yeah. And it doesn't stand out if everybody's using it. So definitely, definitely worthwhile. So tell me a bit about the, we've talked about a couple of keywords. I'd say if you parsed this episode, we spent some time talking about ass, the ass mm-hmm. word, and also humans. So tell me about the Kick-Ass Humans Club. That sounds like an interesting endeavor that most, brand builders might not be a part of.
So I started this club because I really wanted to make sure we had a place that was a little safer on Facebook to be able to talk about things that wasn't political, that wasn't, oh, you're a liberal, I'm a conservative, or that was a lot less of the, like, another school shooting happened and another terrible thing happened in the world. Like more of a, let's talk about the wonderful things that are happening for a minute. Cause I wanted a safe place to be able to share. I'm having a hard time with something. Can someone help me and allow someone else to connect with them? And as a connector, I love connecting people to each other, but I'm very transient. I move all over the place and I'm always traveling and I'm meeting all these amazing people and I wanted to collect them somewhere. So I put them in the Kick-Ass Humans Club and I figured if you want to opt into that, that means you're probably a kick-ass human or want to be. So being able to help people by prompting them to think about their lives and their weeks and what they're doing and sharing stuff that they're doing and sharing their stories and being able to just make sure that there's a place for people to be able to do that. It's funny how randomly I will run into someone and be like, oh my gosh, the Kick-Ass Humans Club is my favorite place on Facebook. Thank you so much for creating that. And being able to curate this space has been really fun for me because it gives me something really positive to do, even if I'm not getting out of my house for the day.
So I love the idea of that. And I would say, because it mentions a few of those keywords in its very name, but it has a really neat purpose. Can you talk a bit about the role, I don't want to be shrewd, that plays in building your own brand? Because I feel like the value of building a Facebook community might not be one that many out there have thought about.
So the Facebook communities that I've been a part of, a lot of them have like gone to the wayside because someone didn't want to keep up with whatever was going on there. And I think a lot of building this group has been being able to build something that can also go on its own sometimes. So I'll put a leader in place sometimes when I'm on vacation and I just don't have the time and I don't want to just schedule some posts and hope that people connect with it, because I really try to engage with everyone who comments or posts on the page to be able to make sure that the club is really feeling like it's being loved. And having someone like me love on it is really kind of the key to it. But being able to curate the group, the biggest reason I started the club was to be able to make sure that, I mean, my focus is clients who are kick-ass humans. So if I create the Kick-Ass Humans Club, I'll collect them all in one place and then we'll be able to chat together and I can find out more about the types of things people are interested in. So it's data collection for me, but also it's a way for me to be able to share the first thing that I ever, anytime I do something, I can share it there first. So it's the thing that they get to hear, like me launching the Dish Method on Monday. They were the first people to hear about it. They were on the wait list first because they were in the club. So it's kind of an exclusive place, even though it's not exclusive at all, being able to make sure that people can really get the first dibs on all of the cool stuff that we're creating.
Well, and something to consider to, as we bring this full circle too, we started talking about knowing your humans and asking them. And I can't think of maybe a better way to do that, especially in this virtual world where we're all over the place, than to be connected in a group around shared meaning together.
Agreed. Yeah. And they feel like they're a part of the community. They feel like they're a part of the thing that really holds them all together. And they're all supportive of each other, which I make really, really sure that it's a very supportive community, because people have really hard questions that they need to ask sometimes. Like, I don't know anything about finances. I don't know how to build this business. Does anyone have good resources? Or I really need to be able to ask my boss for this thing. Does anyone have an idea of how I can do that? I mean, they're really, really, it's a very transparent place to be because it is closed. But I mean, a lot of people don't get a chance to ask questions that they, and they don't know people to ask sometimes. So being able to give them a place to do that is really huge for me.
And I'd say too, you know, on the larger front, when your brand can be that place, I think that has some powerful weight that it can, that it can add to those connections. So in segueing from kick-ass humans to kick-ass brands, and as we start to wrap up our conversation here, can you tell me a bit about a brand that has made you smile recently, Melanie Spring?
Well, I can say that I've just moved from DC to Denver and going from one DC to another DC that has a completely different feel, the very busy District of Columbia to the very laid back and chill Denver, Colorado. REI, which is huge here because this is all outdoors, has been, has had a campaign for not too, I mean, quite a while now, but every time I see it, it makes me smile. And it's hashtag opt outside, which I love that they took the opt out and decided to say opt outside and be able to use that as something like I use it for other things. And the fact that they've been able to create a hashtag that makes me giggle a little, but also is something that's like, oh, yeah, I should get outside and go for a run instead of staying inside and sitting at my desk, or I should get outside and go for a hike. Just being able to know that, like, that a brand that big can also still get a regular everyday human like me to giggle, I'm all over that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, we've talked a lot about clever turns of the phrase, and I also love when you can take something, it's clever anyways, but it means one thing, and you've kind of flipped it and made it something else. So that is wonderful. Melanie, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
They can go to brandedconfidence.com or kickasshumansclub.com if they just want to hang out in the community.
We will link up to all of those in our show notes. Melanie, thank you for joining us on Brand.
And thank you for having me.
And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community here, though they don't have a name like Kickass Humans. I kind of wish now that they did, but I'll have to work on that. Seth Sparks recently gave us a shout for our episode featuring Joe Lazauskas. So big thanks to Seth for listening. And a reminder, if you liked something that you heard on this episode or another, if you have something that you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know on Twitter using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. Thanks again to our presenting sponsor, 2020, your source for on-brand photography for your brand. Get five photos with 2020's one-week free trial at 2020.com/onbrand. That's the word 20, then the number 20. .com/onbrand. On Brand is a production of Brand Driven Digital, helping complex organizations simplify their branding and marketing to unlock growth. More, including the links to everything we discussed with Melanie at branddrivendigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.